Amen. All right. Well, it's great to have you back. Thank you for stepping in this evening. That's awesome. Okay, this is the way that I'm going to introduce Brother Gary White. Many of you have been here. He's been here before. What a joy it is that he would bring his ministry back. We always love having him to be with us. But, you know, when we were singing those songs, my thought was how receptive God has to be when his people sing songs like that, the intent, the message, and everything else. And it just is a door of open, of invitation from us as the way we sing and just saying, God, please come and just deliver things into our hearts. So as a congregation, I want us to do the same thing with Gary as he comes. And listen, by the way, if you'll look to the right and left in your pews, there are no seat belts. But if you had some, you might as well just put them on, because this guy, when he gets wound up, there is no telling where we're going to go. Sorry for the expectation I've just created, but I have a feeling you'll take care of that. So, hey, will you do me a favor and give an incredible warm welcome back to our pulpit, Brother Gary White.
Well, praise the Lord for his goodness, and glad to be with y'all again. One thing that you have to know about this place is you can feel welcomed here. No doubt about that. That sign, y'all holding up to the words on that sign about welcoming, because every time we've ever been here, we always felt so welcome, and so folks are so friendly. And that really speaks a lot. You know, it really blesses. That's probably one of the things I really love about Oklahoma. I've been other states and whatnot through the years. And one of the things that I notice about Oklahoma, they're colorblind and everything else. Yeah, you'd be surprised. But I'm telling you, it's wonderful. And I thank Pastor Dave for allowing us to come and be with y'all tonight. You know, one thing about him, he has a lot of energy. I don't know where he's getting this energy at his age, but I think that's awesome, you know. This is awesome, man. You know, I mean, you know, they talk about on TV how people are getting worn out and they need taking pop pills and all kinds of stuff to get energy. He don't need a thing. He's got the Holy Ghost. So I always appreciate his spirit. I really do. I appreciate your spirit, brother. And you always make me feel welcome. But also, it's just the friendliness means so much. And I'm sure that means a lot to the church, too. Well, anyway, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I'm going to go right on into the word here tonight. And I'm going to ask y'all to turn with me. This is going to be a real simple message, real basic. But I want to talk to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, friend. I am, because I see that there's so much foolishness going on in the world today. I'm just trying to stay so basic, basic, basic. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? So much going on. And I want to ask you to turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 16, verse 8 through 11. And then I'm going to also read John chapter 14. And then I also want to read a portion out of Acts chapter 1:8. So let's begin here with John chapter 16. Now, it says right here, and by the way, let me say this here before I forget. I do want to thank you. I usually put some CDs and stuff out. We're in the process of still unpacking stuff. But I do want to say that I really appreciate the ones that y'all have purchased and stuff, because that has helped us quite a bit on our missions. And we've been still going to Uruguay, Guyana, South America, and Port of Spain. And then of course, this year we have those three, plus we're supposed to go to Jamaica and Brazil. And I have to say that for sure that there is a move of God that's going on. I see things happening there in Uruguay, and I believe we're going to, as our sister was saying, I think we get ready. I believe we in for a good move of God everywhere. Now, John chapter number 16 and verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, and of righteousness because I go to my Father. And ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. Okay, and also in John chapter 14, verse number 16 and 17 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. The word seeth here really means it's basically defined as experience. In the world, because it experiences him not. It says, neither know him, and the word know here is defined as aware. Neither aware of him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And then in Acts chapter number 1 and verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight, giving you the praise and glory and thanksgiving. Holy Spirit, we invite you to be the one who helps us tonight. We're asking you, ask you to help us to deliver, but we also pray that you help us to be receptive of what you have for us, that we may continue in the what you have called us to do, Father. We praise you for it, giving you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, I want to go on to say, first of all, we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to say that there are at least three workings of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about, number one, that the Holy Spirit is with us. And when I say that the Holy Spirit is with us, the Holy Spirit comes with us before we are born again. The Holy Spirit comes, and he's the one who convicts us of our sins. You know, the scripture is clear to us. He comes, and he judges us, and he convicts us. And he's the one who makes known, reveals Christ to us. He's the one who convicts us of our weaknesses, our sins, and so forth, to bring us to God. And so this is our first encounter, really, with the Holy Spirit. Now, we may not know he's the Holy Spirit. We may have been in a service like I was years ago, and I didn't know nothing about the Holy Spirit, but I knew what I was feeling. I knew that something wasn't right. I knew, even though I've been in church for many years, I was in the Baptist church there, going with my grandmother, because she wasn't going to have us being at home. And so I had to go to church. And I want to tell you that even though I was in that church, I had not been born again. I didn't know about being born again. But there was times in that service where I felt conviction, but I didn't know what it was. And so, but I want to say that conviction is a part of what the Holy Spirit does to bring us to Jesus. You know, even in Isaiah chapter number 6, it tells us in verse 5 that Isaiah, he had this encounter with God. And when he had this encounter, he began to realize that he himself was a man of unclean lips. In other words, that was a conviction that even set in on his life that says, oh, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. So you see, even the Holy Spirit worked, even in that old covenant, convicting man of sin. But also we know that the scripture tells us in Luke chapter number 5 that Peter, whenever that the Lord, he had been toiling all night trying to catch a bite. And while he was out there toiling, we know that Jesus had came up and he began ministering and teaching. And afterwards he told Peter to take and cast his net to the other side. Once he cast that net to the other side and Peter saw that miracle, he was convicted and said, I am a man. I am a sinful man. Conviction begin to set in on Peter. Also, we also know that there was a time that we see many places in the Word of God where conviction has set in upon men. And I want to go on to say that even during the time of Stephen, when Stephen was preaching that powerful message, the Bible tells us that the men there, those men that heard it, they were cut to their hearts. That's what it says in Acts 7:54, that they were cut to their hearts. You know, when God's conviction comes, sometimes you feel undone. When God's conviction comes, sometimes you and I actually can feel like, oh, I'm a sinful man. You know, we feel that we're undone, but also we feel sometimes what feels like a cut. Man, I felt that one too. I have felt cut before by the Holy Spirit. Also, we know that in Acts chapter number 2, the Bible tells us that when Peter was preaching the gospel, that many of these people began to cry out because why? They had heard the word of God, and when they heard this word, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, what must we do? How many of y'all ever had that to happen to you before? Whenever you get pricked by the Spirit of God, you say, oh, what shall I do? And we fall to our faces. But I want to say that conviction is a part of what we experience before salvation, but also we are going to have some of that while we're saved, friend. I don't know about you. Now, I've heard a lot of folks say, well, you know, they talk about this greasy grace and, you know, there's not going to be any kind of a repentance. You don't need to repent no more, friend. I don't know about where they coming from because I've been walking in this thing for over 20-something years and I am still finding times where I get convicted. Because think about the scripture. It says in Hebrews chapter number 3, it says, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He's not talking to the unbeliever. The Bible is written to believers. So that means that there are times in my life that I could harden my heart when I'm convicted. But he tells us, don't harden your heart today if you hear his voice. So yes, there are times in our life that we will experience conviction. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Let me see your hands if you're honest. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And also, the second thing I want to mention to you is that the Holy Spirit also dwells with us and in us. Now, once that we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, now the Holy Spirit comes in us and dwells in us. See, because in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 23, it tells us that we've been born again of an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. John chapter 3 says that we've been born again by the Spirit of God. So there's no contradiction. Some would say, oh, well, the Bible says over here we're born by the Spirit, we're born by the Word. Which is it? It's both. How many are you born by in the natural? Two. Your father and your mother. Isn't that right? So if you're born by your father and mother, glory to God, that your father, your mother come together, they bring forth that seed, and boom, here comes little Junior. Well, that's the same thing that happens in the realm of the Spirit, friend, that God sends that word through the power of the Holy Ghost, bringing conviction, making you and I see our need for him. The Word of God comes, dwells inside of us. The Spirit of God quickens that word, and we become a brand new creation. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to God. How many of y'all believe it today? My God. And so we come into that born again experience. And so this here, right then, we now begin to experience the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And now we become his sons and daughters. You know, that's amazing. become a new creation and become his sons and daughters. The Bible says to us in John chapter 1, 12, it says, as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God. As many as receive him, he has given to us the power, the right, and the privilege, and the authority to become sons of God. Can y'all say amen? And so you see, then we become his sons and his daughters through the power of the word, through the power of the spirit, being partakers of that, not only the divine nature, but being partakers of the kingdom of God, being kingdom citizens, being translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Friend, let me tell you what, there ain't but two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of God. And I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so, the Holy Spirit brings us in. Then he dwells in us. And then he's transforming our life, conforming us in to the image of Christ. Romans chapter 8 tells us that those that he had predestinated, he's also are conforming to the image of his dear son. And that's the purpose. And then one of the purposes also is not only that we be conformed to his image, and also that we're to become new creations. You know, it's a wonderful thing to become a new creation. We don't want to continue. Now, I know that we, now let me just say this here very quickly, is that we are continually being changed from glory to glory. But this is the thing. We all come to this place when we're born again. We want to get water baptized. But the Bible tells us that in the book of Romans chapter 6, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How should we continue in sin if we're dead to sin and alive to God? In other words, I want to say here that we share in his death. We share in his burial, and we also share in his resurrection. You know, when the Bible says, you know, it tells us in the book of Luke chapter 9, 23, it says that if any man come after him, let him take up his cross and die. John chapter 12, 24 tells us, it says, unless a seed falls into the ground and die, it abides alone. I want to say that we too are going to experience the death to self life. That's a part of the Christian walk. We're not to continue in sin just because grace may abound. And back to that thought about grace, let me just say this here very quickly, is that grace is not given so we can continue in sin, friend. Grace is given to empower us. You know, then you go back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, where Paul says that I labored more than you all, but yet not I, but the grace of God in me. In other words, I want to say that there is the part, there's another definition of the grace of God, that grace of God can work mightily in you and change in your life and mind. How many of y'all are with me today? So I don't need grace to condone sin and to encourage sin. I obtain grace so that I can live a Christ-like life, so I can die to self and come alive in him. Oh, glory to God. And so, I like the thought of death to self a little bit more now, because I know that the greater my death, the greater my burial. The word buried means union or company, or come into company with. And so, in other words, the greater my death, the greater my union. The more I can sense him, the more I can become aware of him. Because in that death, that more you and I die to self, we can actually become more aware of him. Like it says in John chapter 14 and verse 7, it said that the world see him not. In other words, they don't experience him. And then it says, for you know him. You know him. You are aware of him. Why? Because the greater our death, the greater our fellowship, and the greater our union. And that's when we too begin to experience the power of his resurrection. And why did Peter's shadow was bringing healing to the sick? Because it wasn't the shadow. It was the power of God flowing out of his life. Can you say amen? And so also the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. In other words, he is not limited to just a few things. The Holy Spirit can teach us all things. In other words, listen, we understand that he can teach us spiritual things, but I'm going to tell you, friend, he can teach you natural things too. That's right. I'm thinking about right now on the top of my head here. I remember when I first got married. We've been married 39 years, known my wife 41 years. And I remember when we first got married, we lived in Morganfield, Kentucky. Well, you know, I told you the Holy Spirit be on you. And I remember we first got married that first few months, and we had a little discrepancy. And I went to work. And boy, you talking about somebody feeling convicted. Whew. Now, I didn't never punch on my wife or nothing like that. Let's erase that from my mind. I just wasn't as sensitive. I'm still learning. I'm 21 years old, and I'm still trying to be a husband. And I make some mistakes along the way, and we have a little discrepancy. I go to work, and I'm feeling this conviction on me. And finally, I went to my boss. I said, I need to get home a little early today, and I need to take care of something but my wife. And so I went home, and we sat down and talked about it. But see, this is what I had to do. I had to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do? And you know what the Spirit of God showed me about? And I'm telling you, he helps us with our marriage. He helps us with our children. He helps us with our jobs. He gets involved everywhere if we let him. And so here I am. I'm going home, and I'm asking the Lord what to do. And what he showed me to do, you just go in there, and you apologize, and you confess you were wrong. Well, that's simple, ain't it? But a lot of times our pride won't let us do that. Oh, he's the one that was wrong. We point the finger back and forth, and we never get a play. We don't get any words with that. But whenever we come, and I went there and I started confessing, oh, honey, I should have did it this way. I should have done it that way. Then she broke down and started doing the same thing. And the next thing you know, that glued things together. You see, because the Holy Spirit will help us even in our marriage. If we will allow him to do it, if we be willing to humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he'll direct us and guide us and show us what we should do. I had to ask the Holy Spirit to help me when I was in the military. There would be times I would be given certain jobs and tasks and things to do, and sometimes I didn't always know what to do, and I'd ask the Holy Spirit, well, what do I do? How do I work through this? And there would be times I would feel a guidance because I had learned on earlier to spend time in prayer so that I could learn and time in the Word. And sometimes I had to get in that Word in the morning. I had to get it in there in noontime too. But what I'm saying is that he would guide me even in my decisions and my work. Even as I worked as a mechanic, there would be times I'd get jammed up working as a mechanic, and I'm trying to figure out how to do this and how to fix this and how to fix that. And I'd ask the Holy Spirit, and he would help me. What I'm saying is the Holy Spirit is not limited. The Bible says the Holy Spirit can teach us all things. Isn't that wonderful? I thank God that he's not. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Even in the Old Testament, those people that would make those garments and stuff like that, it said that the spirit of wisdom was on them. The spirit of God was on them. He taught them. He showed them. Even Moses, he didn't know nothing about building no tabernacle. He didn't even know what colors to use. He ain't never been to heaven. But the Holy Spirit helped him. He took and built this thing in the natural. How many of y'all see what I'm talking about? So the Holy Spirit is relevant in our life every day, willing to help us. Even, listen, some of you all that ain't married, you better ask the Holy Ghost to help you. Especially today. My God, sometimes, you know, you don't never know what you're going to get out. And everything look good until after you get that package home. Woo! Hallelujah! You better, you know, one of those gifts of the Holy Ghost is called discernment. And you better ask him, Holy Spirit, help me with some discernment. Because I need to know what's in this rascal. And don't be in no hurry to get a hold of George or Martha too quick. Give time. Let the Holy Spirit reveal some stuff. You know the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll unfold things and help you, keep you from making some major mistakes. Because, man, it's a whole lot easier to get into something than it is to get out of it sometimes. Oh, glory, some of you all shaking your head like y'all know what y'all know what I'm talking about or something. So I want to go on to say very quickly, the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. He'll teach you how to pray. He'll teach you how to work. He'll teach you what to do. He'll even help you with your decisions in school. He'll help you in various parts of your life if you let him. Now, very quickly, I want to go on to say, and I'm almost done here, that the Holy Spirit is also upon you for service. The Holy Spirit comes upon you and me for service. The Holy Spirit comes with us to convict us. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us to help us, to teach us, to train us, you know, to conform us to the image of Christ, etc. And then the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Acts chapter 1 and 8, it tells us there, it says, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And see, this power is executing a part of what it says in Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham was given by God the promise. He says, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, to be a blessing. Now, God is wanting to bless you and me to be a blessing. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 61, he tells us here, he says, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to heal the brokenhearted. I believe that the Holy Spirit comes upon us and comes into our life so that we can reach out to the brokenhearted. Friend, I'm telling you, you can see it today. There's brokenness everywhere. Whether we realize it or not, we actually look like we're living sometimes in the middle of the dry bone of the valleys, because there's broken homes, there's broken family, there's broken emotions, there's broken children, there's broken families. There's a lot of brokenness today. And because of that brokenness, friend, we need an anointing. Because God desires that now that you and I are saved, he wants you and I to be empowered to reach out to those that are without him, those that are broken, those that are needy. He's calling us to do that. Reach out to them. And, you know, and that's what, even on our jobs, I believe that even on our job, that was those people in the job that I worked in the military, I would work, reach out to them. You know, I'd even hold Bible studies during lunchtime. While I was in the military, because some of those folks wouldn't go to church. They wouldn't go to church. They may not go at first, but if you have them, and I had them studies with them. Some of them I'd go visit their homes. Some of them would come and, you know, and ask questions and so forth and so on. But, you know, we have to become more aware that the Holy Spirit has this tremendous burden right now for the lost. He's always had a burden for the lost. But I think that the more we become aware of him and we allow him to use us, we begin to feel this type of a burden that he feels. How many understand what I'm talking about? I mean, there are times our heart breaks when we see what's going on with people today. The killing that's going on in the schools. You know, a lot of that is, there's a lot of hurt going on in people's minds and in people's emotions and homes and et cetera. But you see, the Holy Spirit has privileged you as believers to be able to be used to reach those who are broken. And I believe that that's what it's all about. As our sisters over in Taiwan and other places, I'm sure that that's her whole mission, is to seek and save those that are lost. And that's what we're supposed to be all about here if God leads us here. Because otherwise, my friend, if God didn't want us to do something and to reach out and to be a blessing to others and help others to come to salvation, when you came to the altar to get saved, you just get raptured on up. We just have another rapture service. You know, every service, people get saved and whoo, there they go. They get raptured up. Hey, sir, we're going to have another rapture service today. We got some folks that came up to get saved and boom, after a while, the church be almost empty and they had to fill it up again, get some more people saved and have another rapture service. But you see, the Lord has left us here to be witnesses. And to do his will, to reach the lost. And let me just say this to you, friend. If you don't even think about that much, and if you don't have a burden for the lost, do you know that that's a worthy prayer? It's a worthy prayer. Lord, I'm a young man. I'm 21 years old. I'm 31 years old, whatever. And Lord, I want to reach those in my sphere of influence. Those that I work with every day. Show me how to reach out to them. You know, I'm going to tell you one thing I had to dispel the fear of. Because I used to think you had to just dive in there and, you know, you get this picture, you know, you just dive in and preach the gospel to them and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Man, I said, forget about that, phooey. I never would do that with my people that I work with. I just would learn to get the love on them. I'd invite them to lunch. I wouldn't take them in clans because then they might get rough, you know, filthy and stuff, you know. So I'm talking about, you know, the things they talk about. So I'd just take one at a time. And I'd invite them to go to lunch. And I let them talk about fishing and hunting and different things they like to do and their family and so forth. And then I'd take it last few minutes before we get ready to go break back to work and begin to share Jesus with them. And, you know, I think that that's good for us to believe God, to intentionally reach the lost. Intentionally. It ain't going to just happen by time and chance. And then also the Bible tells us in that scripture, it said that he comes to deliver those that are captives. There are many people today that are captivated by fear, by hate, by all kinds of different emotions as well as spiritual chains that cannot be viewed. I was thinking about the guy that when we was over in Uruguay, and the Lord spoke to my spirit right before this was, I was going to go to service that evening, and I was just waiting on the Lord, and while I was waiting on him, I heard him say in my spirit, pray for those that has seizures, and those with depression. And so so I began praying. That became my prayer, really, the rest of that time, as I just continued to intercede. I learned that from 1 Kings chapter 18. When the word of the Lord came to Elijah, he took that word, and he didn't assume that God was going to send the rain. He believed that God was going to send the rain, but he prayed it through until he saw the rain, right? And so I began to pray it through, and then in that service that night, the Lord began to reveal to me, don't preach until you pray for those two things. And I did. I prayed for the one that had depression, and I prayed for the one that had the seizures, that one guy that had these seizures. They had to bring him up there. There was like three or four people gathered around him. He was kind of clenched up, and they brought him. And when he came up there, they laid him up there. He was standing there, and they were surrounding him. And when we prayed for the guy, boom, God hit him under the power of the Holy Spirit, and that guy fell out. And whenever he began to spit up that spirit, completely delivered. And whenever that guy got up, he got up and walked right back. And this is what happened. When that took place, I thought, well, okay, now we're going to go to Ezekiel 47 and we're going to get the message out. And boom, the word of knowledge started coming a little more frequently. And now I'm feeling people's pains in their knees and other things. And I just began to release that. And God just, and that service turned into a whole healing service is what it turned into. And so what I'm saying, what I said all that to say that God brings deliverance to the captives. And this to me, why prayer is so important. I really don't go to prayer always with always something. Okay, God, I want this, I want that. I have to get into that prayer time and be quiet and learn to listen and see really what's on the heart of God. And that's really my prayer. I'm telling you the God truth. One of the things that I desire more than anything is to get into that time with him and better find out what's really on his heart. Because when I find out what's on his heart and I do what he says to do, or and act in that, then God does more than I can even imagine or think. How many of y'all are with me today? And so it even changes my whole perspective about prayer. And now my prayer becomes learning how to wait on God and be still. And it's important. But so anyway, there is a deliverance here that takes place under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's the same thing that happened in the book of Acts. You remember the guys that had those demons and Paul and not in the book of Acts. But, you know, there's times when people need to be delivered from demons. I've seen people deliver from fear and other things. But I want to say that that's where the anointing for. And also, I want to go on to say that it's for healing. God desires to use you, to work through you. You know, we know Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the one who does the healing. He's the one that does the deliverance. We just get the privilege. This is the way I see it. You know, we just get the privilege of seeing him do what he has always done. They saw it in the flesh, and we just see him in the spirit among the candlestick today. And when he's in the room and when he's around us, you know, he just does what he's always has done before. And I thank God for that. How many of y'all do? And then, you know, I remember also in York Way, this lady came into the service, and she had a ripped tendon. And I remember this is what she said. I thought it was kind of interesting the way she said. She didn't testify to the next night. And whenever she came down for prayer, she had this ripped tendon. And she told us in her testimony that the doctors told her the only way she would be healed, she'd have to have a surgery done. And this woman, that night, she came down. And she was out under the power of God. And I've noticed, this is something I've seen about the Lord. Sometimes the Lord will let you stand there and heal you. And sometimes he'll lay you out and do surgery on you. And I was sitting there watching there for a few minutes. She went out under the power of God. And I was just watching him. And I could see God working. I could see him working. And, you know, and when she got up, she was completely restored. I mean, she was able to raise her arms and move them around and all this kind of. And she told us the next night when she came back to the service, she said, you know, I saw people down there being healed. That was the night that healing service was going on. And she said that she didn't think she had any faith. She said, but Lord, I don't know that I don't really have that much faith, but this little faith that I have, I'm going to come. I'm going to come with that. And you know what? She came with what she had, and God made up the rest. Somebody say hallelujah. Because, see, the Lord desires to bring healing, deliverance, and salvation to his people, and also to bring wholeness here. And so as I begin to close here tonight, I want to say to you, may the Lord, may we become more aware of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, when I say more aware of him, become more aware of him in a couple of ways. One, be open to the Holy Spirit. You know, I've come to learn that in the mornings when I rise up and I feel the presence of God on my face, or if I feel God nipping at me, or he says, go pray, I know he is as an invitation. I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking. If any man will come, I will sup with him and he will sup with me. You know, I had to learn that years back, that whenever the Holy Spirit is moving, you've got to get alone. And if you do, he'll meet you right there. You know, and it makes you become more aware. But for years, I would say, Lord, help me to become more aware. Help me to become more sensitive to you. That when you move, I move. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this in closing. That it's important to become aware of him so that he can instruct us and guide us and lead us and help us so that we are able to help others, because that is the desires of God's heart, that he would help lead us to help others and to be able to reach out to those around us. And so as I close here, I want to say, Lord, please fill us afresh tonight. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. Fill us afresh with a fresh desire and a hunger to be in communion and fellowship with you. Can I just say this here to you, saints? Embrace and pursue communion with God. That's what he wants. The first thing that I know of in life, because when everything is all gone, evangelism is gone, missions work is gone, musical instruments are gone, when everything is all gone, there's only one thing left, and that's Jesus. And so I encourage you, let him always be that number one. John, the epistle in John, 1 John chapter 1, 3 says that our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. That is our greatest joy, friend. That is our greatest delight in the world, is our fellowship with him. And anything outside of that is icing on the cake. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you tonight, and we're just so needy tonight. We stand in such a need of you more tonight than we have ever in our whole life. We stand there and we see what's around us, and we see the things that's going on. And we know that you are the only answer, but you have raised us up, this church, the church, the kingdom, people in the world, the church, to be able to be your hands, to be your feet, to be your finger, to be your comforter, to bring joy to those that have been depressed. Lord, you have raised us up for that. And we're asking you, Lord God, to use us, Father God. Give us a fresh awareness of our need to reach out. And Lord, give us a burden for the lost like we have never had before. Whether to pray for the sick, whether to pray for those that need to be delivered, or whether we're comforting the bereaved and those that are hurting. Lord, we thank you for it so much, Lord. Praises to the Lord. Praises to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Mararashila rabakunda rabakunda riyanda rabakunde. Oh, Rashita tata rabakundo. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, praises. Would you lift your hands tonight and let's just draw near to him for just a few minutes. Oh, Father God, we thank you. You are the King of glory. You are the bright and morning star. You are the lily of the valleys. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woo! Breathe upon your people tonight, Lord. Breathe upon us, Lord. Breathe upon us tonight, Lord. Breathe upon us tonight, Lord. Woo! Breathe. Breathe upon us, Jesus. Let the breath of God be upon us tonight, Lord. And Lord God, we pray that you'll begin a fresh work inside of every one of us, Lord, no matter how long we've been saved. Breathe upon us, Lord. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on and just begin to real softly begin to play. Hallelujah. Oh, Rashatatatarabakondalabakende. There's a river. There's a river that makes glad the city of our God. Father, we pray right now that you begin to bring peace, Father. We pray that you begin to lift depression tonight, Lord. Father, we pray, God, tonight that you begin to touch those that has been hurting and those that's been paining for years. Father, we pray that you'll meet the needs and cause discernment to come into our hearts, God. To those that are feeble, Lord, bring new strength in the name of Jesus. Woo! Woo! Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory! Let the glory of the Lord flow. Let the glory of the Lord flow. Thank you, Lord. And Father God, we thank you. You say that they that wait upon the Lord, that you will renew our strength. And we will mount up, that we will mount up, that we will mount up on the wings of the eagle, Lord. And you tell us in your word that the eagle's wings, that through the eagle's wing we can be lifted up, Lord. And we know it's the wind of the Holy Ghost that causes us to be lifted up, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Rababa Katarabakoto. Father, refresh your leaders. Refresh those that's been laboring. Father, there are those in this place, God, that's been laboring. Those that's been working, Father God. Some has grown weary at times, Father. But we pray now, God, that you're going to refresh them. That you're going to refresh them, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Now, with every head, not just it. Now, though, not yet. Now, just I want to ask those in this place before we move right along here tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a few minutes. I want to ask you that if you have never been born again, maybe you have been coming to church like I was for many years, and you've heard about the things of God, you've also know, family members have told you, but you hadn't made that commitment in such a way that you know that if you passed away tonight, you know you'll be with Jesus. And friend, it don't matter whether we're young or whether we're old. So I'm going to ask, if you're not sure about your salvation and you know you want to be sure, I'm going to ask you to slip your hands at right where you are, because if the Lord is pricking your heart, if the Lord is dealing with your heart, do not harden your hearts in this place tonight. If you need the Lord, I ask you to slip your hands at right where you are. Praises to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Now, the second thing I'm going to ask here tonight is how many in this place says, you know what? I need the Lord more. I need the Lord to help me. I'm trying to make some decisions. I'm needing the Lord to teach me. I'm needing the Lord to help me. I'm even at times I feel so weary, I almost feel like I want to give up sometimes. I'm going to ask you, if that's you today, would you slip your hands up right where you are? I see your hands. Blessings on you all. Nothing wrong with that, friend. We all cross that place at times. Anyone else in this place, you know, I just need you, Jesus. I just need more of you too, Lord. I just need more of you, Lord. Say, Lord, I just want to ask you to use me, Father God, to those around me. Thank you, Lord. I see your hands, sister. Say your hands over there to the right, to the left. If you say, God, I want you to use me, don't worry about how young you are. Jeremiah was just a child. Don't worry about how old you are. Moses was 80. There's no age limit, because God don't see the age. He sees people. He sees hearts. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Now, I'm going to ask, if any of these things apply to you, would you stand for just a few minutes, if you don't mind? Just stand with me, those that lifted your hands. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rasha Tarabakoto. There's a breath of God here. There's a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes God comes to us in the rivers. Sometimes it comes with the rain. Sometimes it comes with fire. Sometimes it comes, it's like a breath. And that's just what I feel, just a breath. Usually that breath has to do with the refreshing. You know, if you've been needing to be refreshed, would you mind standing with me also tonight? Maybe you've been weary and well-doing. It's okay. Because, see, we all cross that place, too, in our life when we become weary. Sometimes we get tired. You know, sometimes we even think, you know, of course, thank God, but that we haven't given up. But there are times when people feel like, I don't know if I can go on anymore. If you feel that sometimes in your heart, and you've been going through that lately, just stand to your feet. Because you know what? That's why we're here tonight. You know, this service is not about one physical man. It's about one spiritual man, and that's Jesus. And he's here to meet us where we are, to touch us and to minister to our life. And also those that are in this church here that are doing, maybe you're doing well and everything is going good. This is the perfect time for you to be able to pray for those that are going through something. I'm going to ask you all to stand in, if you don't mind. And I'm going to tell you, I'm the first one in this altar. I'm not up here because I got it all together. I still get convicted. I still have to rely on the Lord. I still get weary. I still get tired. There's times I'm like, Lord, I don't know how much more I can do with this and that and the other. I'm just like you, man. But you see, God is right here with me as well as he's there with you, and he's ready to bring us through. And so I'm going to ask y'all this standing. Would y'all meet me in these altars, if you don't mind? Praise the Lord. Just come on down. And I know Pastor's going to be right here with us, and he's going to be right here to meet us. He's going to help us. I'm telling you, saints, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, if you want to kneel, that's fine. Whatever you want to do. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lamb. Oh, the glory to the Lamb. There's a peace. Oh, there's a glory, 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 glory. You know, Jesus is right here in this altar. I can feel his presence here with you tonight. You know, he's loving you so much, friend. I'm telling you, he loves you so much, friend. Oh, Rasha Tarabakondo Lobo Shende Lebo Konde. Oh, Lobo Kende. And I'm going to ask you all this, that's sitting in your seats, if you're strong right now and you've been doing well, I'm going to ask you all to come and stand with some of these that are hurting right now and just come and pray. Let's help us pray for them, please, because we need one another, friend. The Bible says, pray ye one for the other. And there are times in our life when I have to have somebody pray for me. Oh, glory. Oh, Rabbi. And don't you rush. You take all the time you need. If you need to stay on your knees a while, if you need to call on the Lord, you just do what you need to do. Just real softly, just let it play. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory, 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 glory.
Spirit.
Quickly, I'm going to ask now if you've got any pain in your body, if you've been having a lot of pain and you've been going through this for a while, I'm going to ask you to come up and I'm going to agree with you today. And if you have a desire for that, just come and we'll pray with you. Or maybe you've been having some other illness and we'll pray with you. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, will you stand? We're going to sing this chorus one more time before we leave tonight. Boy, God sometimes will do something in 30 seconds that it took you 30 years to get there, and He can reverse it like crazy. Hey, tonight we're just going to point our focus on what He's doing here tonight, and just let Him complete that work. Amen. Let's sing this one more time before we're released tonight. Hands in the air, hearts to the Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. Amen. So God bless you tonight? Of course He has. If you have a need for prayer, something we haven't covered or whatever, God is just leading on you, then please come up. Let us pray for you. We understand if you need to go. God bless you guys. The worship team's going to continue to pray. We're not going to have a formal dismissal. So good evening. God bless you. Those of you who need to go pick up your kids, we understand. Amen.